quarter wheat futures find some late session support, mixed action in livestock on Tuesday. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Mike Zuzalo, Global Commodity Analytics, joins us for today's market wrap-up. Mike, let's look at the grains and oilseeds. We were lower to start the day, but corn and wheat rallying late session. That pulled soybeans off the lows. What's your thoughts on how we traded the grains today?
Well, it seemed like Tuesday's beginning trade, Jesse, had some divergence and some realignment that had to be done because of the short-term fundamentals, i.e., the ridge, the high-pressure ridge shifting and allowing some rains into the Corn Belt. But the models continue to go back and forth as far as that, you know, very important area of channel of growing area for the United States between Des Moines, Iowa, and Indianapolis, Indiana. I think that's where the trade's really watching very, very closely since USDA has such a high national yield. If any problems present themselves during this time period, or more problems present themselves during this time period, that 180 plus yield probably is not as likely as it may be right now. But between that and the crop conditions coming in, still lower than last year, but had another week where it did not meet the trade expectations, and they came in on the high end of the average trade expectations. And so these two things, I think, really kind of, you know, made the market sink a little bit more. I would also say that the wheat belt probably, you know, getting only 7% progress in the last week of harvest to be at 74%. Below what the trade was expecting, below what I was expecting, quite frankly, that probably left a little bit of a sour taste in some of the market's mouth. So the bulls, I think, in the short-term fundamentals, very much on the defensive as we opened up Tuesday's trade. But then I think the midday weather models presenting some upside potential. And just quite frankly, the wheat market seeing new monthly highs, and in fact, new two-month highs in the crude oil market. Probably one or close to 2 month highs in the crude oil market probably helped bring that wheat market around with the corn.
Thinking about the wheat market, spring wheat specifically, that wheat tour in North Dakota happening here this week, kicking off on Tuesday. All that heat they had in the Northern Plains, you have to wonder if maybe some social media posts, some algo trading there, because it felt like spring wheat and KC wheat were kind of the leaders on Tuesday session.
I think you're 100% right. We went back above $7 in the September spring wheat. I would also say that we have not, when it comes to my earlier point about the very short-term fundamentals, the bigger picture fundamentals, i.e. these new highs in the crude oil market, these new highs in the spring wheat, those haven't changed. And I would say also what really hasn't changed, and maybe is what helped bring the corn back around. We're not sure whether how much of the corn strength late in the day was the EU price of corn or it was a drier noontime model on the GFS for most of Iowa. But we're still looking at $7.50 a bushel or thereabouts for Paris futures right now. And so we've got a literal $3 premium in the Paris corn versus the United States. And Jesse, when I see that and I see what's going on in the Black Sea with the ships being blown up, I see what's going on when it comes to the Middle East. And now the Houthi rebels are saying they're going to try and shut down the other strait in the Arabian, on the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, the Bab al-Mandeb strait. This all smells more and more like 2022. And so I really haven't seen any concrete fundamentals that would make me think that we need to sell off, especially when it comes to the wheat and when it comes to the corn. And why I pick those two out specifically is because of the world supplies and the availability, both in terms of price and war issues that we have in the grains versus the soybeans. And having said that, The palm oil, some of the vegetable oil, sunflower seed oil prices, especially in the Black Sea, I think I saw they hit about a four-year high today. So we know the vegetable oil market is going to be as tight, if not tighter, than wheat and corn because of some of these same areas that are having a conflict.
Let's talk about this cattle market. We ended the losing streak in live and feeder cattle futures on Monday, but a much quieter, mixed tone Tuesday. Not a bad day, but Not a great day either. Definitely not any follow through to the upside here. Your read on some of this early week cattle trade, Mike?
I'm not surprised by Tuesday's trade with the feeders being the leader to the upside on Monday. I wasn't surprised that they were able to be the leader on Monday because of the commitment of traders report, specifically how little the managed money net longs had in terms of positions on that commitment of traders. And also given the fact that the Texas Panhandle is the place that's most likely to see this ridge of high pressure dominate over the rest of the week here and maybe all the way into the weekend. So it didn't surprise me that we had the move, short covering move Monday. Didn't surprise me that we couldn't follow through today. I do still think, though, that we have some good seasonality coming around the corner. I really like the fact that the hogs not only made a new monthly high, Jesse, but they made a new 11-month high as well. So we've got a lot more support in the other competing meat than we had a year ago. So I'm going to give it till the end of this week to see if those feeders can't resume their move up. I do think the feeders are probably the key to leading the fat cattle out of the hole, simply because the feeders have a much stronger cash market price at this stage of the game.
Any final thoughts? Anything you would reiterate to folks as they're keeping an eye on the markets this week, Mike?
Well, one of the things that I didn't want to talk about too much Tuesday, because I don't know much about it, but since you asked, I really wonder how much the tariff news coming back into the market brought some selling into the trade, especially early in the day, and how much that's going to last through the rest of the week. Typically, though, when you have President Trump push the tariff button, that tends to be a weaker dollar bias in the trade. So I'm hoping that dollar goes down on some of this news and kind of offsets some of the negativity that we got used to back last winter.
We'll keep our eyes on that for sure moving forward. Mike, folks want to talk with you there at Global Commodity Analytics. How can they do so?
Best place is to go to the website, check out some of the audio and video, including what you and I do. Go to globalcomresearch.com, and it's globalcom with two M's, research.com. Sign up for a free 4-week trial.
Well, always remember that risk of trading futures and or options can be substantial. Mike Zuzolo, Global Commodity Analytics, thanks for joining us on today's market wrap-up. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse.
And that's the Tuesday, July 21st market wrap-up on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen.